Welcome to the Adonis Index podcast. I'm John Barbin. With me is Adam Murphy. Adam placed fourth in the Open Level 1 contest, and he made it on the cover of a book too. So that's one of the new AB boosters. One of Adam's shots was just so good. I just, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, that's going on the cover of a book. I sent you an email about that, and yeah, I sent you the book cover, right? You saw it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And just for
I got people, it. I was stoked.
Yeah. For people who are listening, cover model is something I've mentioned, and I just sort of said if you take a good enough picture, you're eligible. But now it's going to become a more targeted thing in the next contest. I've been alluding to it in some of the podcasts, and I'm going to make an official announcement. But we're rejigging the contest such that the open will be transferred into something called cover model. And so the point there is to submit a picture that's cover quality, and then that's what happens with it. It ends up on the cover of one of our books or on the cover of one of our product packages, something like that. So there'll be more information on that. But anyway, so your picks, kind of like how we've had Alicia made it on the cover, and one of our previous winners is already on the cover of a product. And just, we're just going to continue doing this. Instead of stock images or constantly using my image, I want to use everyone else's images to, you know, that's kind of like the goal. So that's where we're heading with it. So anyways, congratulations on your placing. You look, your pictures are amazing. And, I don't know, let's just roll with it. I mean, give us your short history as to getting into our systems, and then let's just get right into, you know, we talked a little bit earlier, but, how you said you've been talking the system up to other people, and it was actually you, but that did the work, not me. And then you said it was freeing your mindset. And that's, I think that's an important thing we should key on, but get into, the quick history that led you to us.
Sure. Yeah, so I've been training for, I don't know, for a long time. I mean, through sports and stuff, through high school and stuff. Nothing to this. I guess I was working out to, you know, now that I look at training and lifting differently. But so I've been doing that for a long time, been in the weight room and familiar with all of that stuff for a long time. And it was probably, well, it was 6 months ago. It was like at the very first of October that I actually purchased the Adonis product. And it was basically day one I started implementing the system. And as soon as I saw something that made so much sense, heard a podcast or two, it didn't take me long to just recognize it as something that fit for me. And I guess the relationship of body proportions and a look just drove home something that was accomplished, something that I could accomplish, and something that I'd be happy with.
How did you find us?
I'm not exactly sure. I had so many different subscriptions and so many different email lists and stuff like that going on, as far as body and health and fitness and all of these things. I have no idea exactly where I clicked the link, but then, like, I remember the day I clicked it, and it was just one click after another, click after another, click podcast after podcast, article after article. I mean, everything was just clicking. I was like, that is it right there. So, and then I just couldn't get enough after that. So I just started almost immediately.
So you were a chronic, would you label yourself as a chronic diet and fitness information consumer or no?
It was definitely a hobby of mine that was, you know, right in there in my top couple hobbies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right. So then,
I mean, I was teaching fitness classes and stuff like that at the rec center, and you know, so I was definitely involved in that community.
Okay. So then, and then we talked earlier about it, the concept of no one would get in shape if they were the only person on earth. So,
right.
But the whole concept resonated with you, right? Like the idea of training for proportion and shape and a look and.
Yeah. No. Exactly. I mean, here I was feeling like I was doing everything that the magazines were telling me, but wasn't going anywhere. And the reason I'm getting those magazines and the reason I'm working out is because, hey, that look right there that's what I'm trying to achieve, yet I'm not getting any closer.
Yeah.
So it was exactly about that. It was about trying to get the, you know, the look and the response from my body that I was trying to get.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously you got that.
I'm definitely closer on my path. I mean, I still have a ways to go before my numbers hit where I want them to hit, and I still have numbers to go before I even get to my golden ratio, despite my, you know, golden, yeah, before I even get to the 1.61, I still have a long ways to go, so.
Yeah, but it's the journey too, right? Like, I mean,
yeah, no, it's exactly, it's a journey, and I'm not in any hurry. I know the building muscle makes, you know, takes time. And one of the things, I can't remember, it was in one of the podcasts I listened to a long time ago, but it just clicked with me, is I think you guys were quoting a college football coach, and you said, you know, we practice hard, and we practice hard so that we can, let's see, how did it go? Basically, they put trust in each other so that they can play faster. And that is kind of what happened with me and Adonis, is that, like, so many things were so true to me, and so many things made so much sense to me. I could throw out all the crap and throw out all the fake information, and I put my trust 100% in the Adonis system. And that just let me work out harder, let me work out faster. I didn't have to second-guess myself. I didn't have to second-guess the system. I could just run and execute this plan, and there was no hesitation.
Okay, so why us, and were you skeptical of the other systems you used? Like, why'd you trust us?
Well, I mean, for one, I think, you know, I had a lot to do with, like, the system sounded great and stuff like that. But once I started listening to the podcast, once I started listening to just the no BS, the straight honestness of it, and the fact that there was science behind it. Science, like, if I go and I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of hundreds of fitness magazines and stuff like that in my downstairs office, I can find very little science in hundreds of magazines, yet here you are writing articles and talking about science in almost every podcast. You know, these are the studies, these are this is this, these are the numbers. You know, that's huge to me. And as soon as I realized that it's not magic, that there's science behind each one of these, and these are the results between this and this range, and like, oh yeah, science makes sense. I can work with science. Now let's rock.
Mm-hmm. So it had to appeal to your sort of logic.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, I work in, you know, computers and do programming, and, you know, Vivek, he's been a transformation winner a couple times. He's fantastic. He's in computer science, and the way that he approaches his system, the system, and the way he looks at stuff is very similar to the same theories and philosophies and what works for me too. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting hearing him in his interviews, because I'm like, yeah, me too. I'm just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's the whole point of the interviews is for people to – the pictures and
to
the
be
numbers –
able to relate.
Yeah, and the pictures and the numbers only tell so much of the story. It's
true.
It's – I mean, I suppose we could just compile all the numbers and everything into, like, a data points and come up with averages and stuff, but that's not the actual – that's useful, but not. It's not the whole thing. The real thing is what actually everyone did, and how different the path was. And that, I don't think a scientific studies captured that. I just had this exact same conversation with the last person I talked to, because this is a recurring theme. Like, the idea that it's actually scientific sort of appeals to people, but then it's only so far you can go with the numbers until like so everyone's looking at the blog, looking at your pictures, or looking at everyone's pictures, and they're like, there's so much more of a story behind that picture. And
sure.
that's what's actually going to relate to people, or that's what people are going to be like, oh, okay, so that guy had a similar life situation as I did, and he got there, and you got to personalize it, right? It's not just
– absolutely.
You know, yeah, there's some art to it. There's like an – obviously you have to get the work done. Obviously you have to pay attention to diet. Like, those are givens. But fitting it into your life is where the art comes in and where it becomes creative.
Yeah.
I guess on that point, talk to us about what you did. Like, what programs you use, like dieting strategy, how did it go for you?
Sure.
Just get into the actual path.
Yeah. Well, like, the Pierre interview a long time ago is one of my favorites. I listened to it multiple times because he was a skinny guy, and he just nailed it in his transformation. And so I learned a lot from that. And you've told people over and over again, if you want what they've got, you've got to do what they do, whatever that means, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to have a transformation similar to Pierre's. I wanted to be able to put on a couple of pounds, grow some shoulders, and, you know, I wanted these types of things similar to Pierre's. And so listening to his interview and listening to the amount of work that he put in, you know, I was like, okay, if that's the price that we're going to pay, that's the price that it's going to be. So I shadowed the first contest, and I started off with the Adonis, just the standard 3.0 program, and was running that through, doing the rages and stuff like that. And then as it was closing in on the end of the AT6, people started posting, it was probably about a month out, people started posting pictures of where they were in their transformation and stuff like that. And I was just seeing, man, some of these guys are just, you know, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Some of these guys are just getting results faster than I'm getting results. Mm-hmm. And that took me back to some of my earlier training programs. One time I had a training, a guy I lifted with on a regular basis. We were doing another program. And, you know, he was getting these results from the same program that I was doing. I was working just as hard, but he was getting results faster. And so one day I was like, okay, I just got to, he can't continue to pass me. So I'm going to go home and I'm going to work out and do the exercise again. So, and I'm just not going to tell him and see if I can catch up, right? Mm-hmm. And I had no idea whether or not it would work or not. So we'd go in, we'd hit the gym, we'd do some bench, and we'd do this program. I'd go home, and I'd do some bench, and I'd basically do a miniature version of the same program, just identical, just 10 hours later. Mm-hmm. And so I slowly started to, like, not be, he was still outgaining me, but not as fast. And I was like, wow, my body's responding to this. And, you know, I felt like that's working for me. So at some point in this one, I think it was probably about a month out from AT6, I started implementing, like, a two-a-day program a couple days a week. So I'd do the Adonis program, then I'd come back and I would hit, like, say maybe your focus that day in the AT or in the Adonis manual was, you know, shoulders and biceps. Well, I'd come home and I'd do a couple extra sets of shoulders, couple extra sets of biceps, doing the same exercise again twice, just 10 hours later.
There's more volume. Yeah.
And with more volume. So, and then I just continued to train into that. And hearing you tell people, you know, that it's mostly under conditioning, not over training, was just like, wow, I've always been afraid that if I do more volume, all of a sudden I'm going to get weaker, I'm going to overtrain, and I'm going to be broken forever, or some crazy fear. Mm. So I kept doing that for a while, and I got to a point where I could basically train almost twice a day, every day, you know, 5 days a week almost, and then I'd get to a point where I'd be like, yeah, I am done. And so then as soon as my body started giving me that feedback, I mean, I would really, really want to be done. So I'd take the next couple of days off, 2 days off, maybe 3 days off, and then I'd go back to one-a-days. And then my body would say, hey, look, we're doing all right again. And then I'd work back into the two-a-days. And so I would just slowly cycle that through. So there was a couple of weeks where I would do, you know, two-a-days for, you know, a couple of weeks in a row, and then I'd kick it back, go the straight program for a little while. And so I just kind of listened to my body and where I was at the time and ran with that.
So you set your volume up in a wave, like a sine wave. You kind of went up and down.
Yes. Yeah. And I did the same thing with my diet, too. I kind of did the exact same thing with my diet. Depending on how I felt, I would go to maintenance and then, you know, eat there for a little while. And then when I started to feel like, you know what, I can cut some calories. I have some fat I want to lose. And I'm going to just drop this back down. I'm feeling good. And so I'd ramp in and I'd ramp out of everything. I wouldn't make any really quick changes. Mm. And then the other thing I did is, like, and that's something that I feel like I made a mistake in a lot of my other programs, is I would change things up too fast. And so this one, I set everything up so that I had 2 week minimums for the most part as far as diet goes. If I was going to change my calories up or down, I'd ramp in and ramp out, but I'd let it sit at a solid state for like 2 weeks and monitor those results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to. The body has to. We can choose to change things and go ahead and change them much quicker than the physiological result will show up. So,
yeah.
Like, you and I could do a crazy day of, like, 5 workouts tomorrow. But
right.
It doesn't mean we're going to actually reap the rewards of it the following day. I mean,
right.
we'll just be bedridden the following day, really. But we could work our way up to that over time and then see what happens. Same with diet. Like, we could just not eat tomorrow. But,
right.
You know, that's not necessarily – or, like, massively overeat the next day. But that's not necessarily – you got to ramp up. And I mean, I like your philosophy a lot. That's Pilon does that. Pilon does a lot of like after coming back from vacation or something, he doesn't immediately try to like fast. He works his way into it.
That's what was working for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's individualized. So you had like a training volume wave going. So you were sort of cycling. Did your calorie cycling kind of match your training volume, or was it its own like two independent waves going on?
No, they were pretty much, they almost mimicked each other. There might have been like a 1 or 2 day lag. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I was mostly kind of just seeing where I was at and making constant, you know, monitor and then adjust, monitor and adjust. But I didn't want to adjust too fast. So there might be a 1 or 2 day lag. But yeah, they almost mirror each other exactly.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I figured, right when you said that, I figured that's probably what was going on.
Yeah.
All right, so yep. then, Okay, so then you go through the contest, you see your pictures. What do you think when you see your final pictures?
When I had, like, so we scheduled a photo shoot, and me and my girlfriend both were participating in my girlfriend did the Venus stuff, like I said. And so we were both participating at the same time, so we decided we were going to share a photo shoot. So we went and did the photo shoot, which came off, it was a challenge trying to get both of us in the same lighting and the same, yeah, it was a little bit, I wouldn't do it again. But I got that one picture. There was a couple of pictures, and there was that one picture that I looked at it, and I go, wow. This makes it all worth it right there. That's the one you chose to use for the cover of
Oh,
the
for the
manual
cover,
of
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just so pleased with that one shot, and that was like our second shot too. So she had just set up the light, click one, click two, there it is right there. So I was like, yes. So it was really good, and the other thing was is that it was kind of like cold in the studio. I didn't have any time to do any kind of pomp. I mean, it was just kind of just cold, just there it is. And so, a lot, almost all of my pictures. And then when we got our pictures back from the photographer, there was like, yeah, the way that it worked out is like I only got a couple of the pictures back from all the ones I took. I only got a couple back. So then I had to run to the park, and I had to take more pictures the day after to get
Oh, all the other
the other.
poses.
All the other poses because I didn't get all of my poses from my
Well, the park
photographer.
pictures are
So,
good, dude. They're really good.
well, thanks. I had my girlfriend set it up, and that was we'd already gone out to Olive Garden, and we'd already so it was the day after, and it was just
No, those are really good. The lighting out there is great.
it was a sunny. It was like the clouds like were starting to come in, and the sun was starting to go down, and this was like the day that the pictures are due. So I'm trying to get these in before 9 o'clock, and I'm like, all right, here we go, rock and roll.
Yeah,
So it was a little
no,
bit stressful, but we did it.
it worked out. And that's a good story for people to hear, that you just, like, the next day you ate and the pictures looked, I mean, no one would know that looking at the pics. It all looks
Yeah. I mean, that's
juices.
what your body's going to change to some degree, but it's not going to. I mean, yeah. There's, that was a significant amount of time, and that was a significant amount of calories later. So.
And it's still, and you're still lean. If anything, you might have filled out a bit. It might actually have made your muscles
Yeah,
a little bigger.
it's very possible. Yeah, I wasn't really concentrating on either one of those things. It's just, yeah. I mean, my weight's still the exact same as it was when I sent in the pictures. So,
Yeah, I guess your goal there was getting them in before the deadline.
exactly.
Yep. So, okay, so then as far, did you do any cardio or no?
Well, I didn't really do any cardio. It wasn't anything that I concentrated on. There was a little fun run that they do, a little 5K. So I like did like four little practice runs before the 5K, and then I ran the 5K. So that was all within the last, month before pitchers, but I wouldn't really consider it a whole bunch of cardio, four or five runs.
And
So that was
then,
pretty much it.
yeah, all right. So then, was it okay? So people want to know if it's was it like a smooth? Oh, what actual program did you follow?
So I did the 3.0 all the way through, and then since I shadowed for the first like 86, since I shadowed that, and then I continued through it. There was a couple of ones I actually repeated. Like I think the power, I didn't repeat the whole 4 weeks, but I like stacked in an extra week. And then there was a rage one that I really liked, so I stacked in an extra week on that as well. So, but then I finished up with the 3.0, and then moved into MVF. So
Oh,
I'm doing
okay.
actually MVF right now. So I just started the 5th week of MVF.
Okay, how you like that?
It's good. It's really good. There's definitely a difference in the training stuff. And the only thing that I'm suffering through is I have a little bit of a shoulder tweak, and so the dumbbells, I never really had my shoulder flare up. It was good, but now doing barbell presses,
Oh, you
yeah,
can
it's kind
totally
of,
switch that, eh?
yeah. And I think that's what I'm going to start doing. It just started flaring up again.
Yeah,
So
yeah. And
as I got into the heavier ones.
for yourself and everyone listening, if barbells hurt, switch immediately switch to dumbbells if they don't hurt. I mean,
Yeah.
I put dumbbells for myself and for most people who have a shoulder, an existing shoulder elbow problem, which like a lot of guys do,
Yeah.
just like previous high school sports injuries, whatever, dumbbells are always safer. If you can handle a bar, it's fine, but if it causes any shoulder problem at all, ditch the bar, never touch it again. Like I never touch a bar. I just banged my elbow against the desk, man, that hurt.
No, now you have an injury to have to work
now I got
around.
another injury to work around. Oh man. That was a funny bone one too. God, that hurts. Anyways, yeah, the barbell is useful if you have perfectly healthy functioning shoulder joints. If there's anything compromised there, it's not at all necessary to ever use a bar. So that's just sort of a, you get just as much development, I mean, and without the risk of injury. So that's
Yeah,
sort of a take
and I
home
think that's
message.
exactly the switch I'm going to make, is just to switch back into the dumbbells.
And that's just because it allows more and more freedom of motion at the compromised joint, so it doesn't force you into a pattern that exacerbates the injury. So it's, you know, I mean, when your two hands are on the same bar, you're just locked into place, and that one injury or that one compromised shoulder is being forced to work as hard as the good shoulder. But when you're going independently, one dumbbell in each hand, the compromised shoulder can do its own thing, and it doesn't have to worry about the other shoulder.
Yeah, it comes in a little, or angles a little different.
Angle's a little different. It's not being forced to work at the intensity and speed of the other. Even though the dumbbells, and I know it sounds weird, even though the dumbbells are the same weight in each hand, it's totally different than both hands on the same bar. Because both hands on the same bar, by definition, it's going to, it will be an imbalanced push, because you're not the both shoulders aren't providing the same amount of force, so to speak, against the same bar.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay. So the photo shoot was, I mean, you made
I got that one picture, and it was exactly what I needed, so I was really happy with it.
All right, so was there any major things that popped up during the, or did was it smooth sailing throughout the process? Like
Well,
challenges,
I
things
was,
that like you ran into?
yeah. I mean, I right now I live a pretty busy life, like most people do. I'm a single dad. I adopted my youngest, and so I've got a 4-year-old. She just turned 4 last month. A little 4-year-old girl, and I've got a 7-year-old girl, and that keeps me hopping all the time. So when I get home from work, I work out during lunch, which is awesome because I work in a gym, and that's fantastic. So I can just walk downstairs and hit the weights, and so that's my lunch hour. And then I get home from work, and it's making dinner, it's doing dishes, it's putting laundry away, it's taking care of family and stuff like that. And so after the kids go to bed, though, then that opened up time and schedules for me to get my second workout in, or to do whatever it was that I wanted to focus on that night. So, my schedule was my strength and my weakness. Having the kids that I had to work around was my strength and my weakness, because it kind of, having kids forces you into sort of some routines and some patterns. And of course, consistency and patterns with your training, is a good thing to follow too. So that was really fortunate. And then, like I mentioned, my girlfriend was doing the Venus stuff along with me, so I always had support. So those days when I decided to, I'm going to cut calories way low today, or, and that was the other thing I was going to mention, is I stopped looking at like how much pounds I wanted to lose, and I looked at it necessarily like pounds and fat. I actually switched it in my head to how many calories I wanted to lose, because I knew that the science behind it would directly relate eventually. So if I said, okay, I want to, lose, say, 2 pounds of fat, right? I need to cut 7,000 calories out of my diet. So I stopped tracking. Well, I mean, I always tracked the weight on the scale, but at the same time, what I was really doing is every day I was just making sure, okay, I worked, I got 700 calories closer to that goal. Now I'm, 1,500 calories closer to that goal. Now I'm 3,000 calories closer to that goal. So, and then I knew eventually, even if it doesn't show up on the scale today or tomorrow or the next day, it didn't matter, because those calories were gone. I know exactly what my, for the most part, how many calories my body is using. So those calories are gone. So eventually, it's going to show up on the scale, and it's going to show up in the mirror. And that was my philosophy behind it. And sometimes there was a couple of days lag. Some days there was almost, more than that. Some days a little less, but it didn't matter, because I knew the calories were gone, and that was that.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Even though it sounds like it's the same, rejigging the, even just investigating or changing the thoughts of the units, even so, pounds versus calories. Even though in the end you're kind of sort
Yeah,
of
they all go
measuring,
back to the same thing.
yeah, it just changes. It does change the way you think about it changes. I don't know why, but it does. It just changes things. So
It did for me.
yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. So I know we talked a little bit. So the social. Let's get into the support reactions you got. Like, so obviously your girlfriend was supporting you, and that was important.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
how did people react to this, or did it not? Did you keep it covert? Like,
Yeah.
how'd you manage that part of it?
Well, my whole life being skinny and stuff like that, if I pass up cake at a birthday party or something like that, people are like, "You're already so skinny." And then to some degree, that's true, but I still had fat, and I still had body goals that I wanted to change. So, and then on top of that, it was a little bit of a, you know, social feedback wasn't always the best. So I decided to just mostly keep it covert. So a couple family members knew and my girlfriend knew, but for the most part, it was pretty covert. And so when I got the email from you saying, hey, we're going to use this picture on one of our training manuals, and here's a copy of it, I was like, this is awesome. So I went and I showed a couple of my family members. They posted it on Facebook. And then, you know, I got a couple of text messages, a couple emails, a couple other messages saying, is this for real? And even my mom was like, that's not real. And so I had to, like, lift up my shirt and, like, what do you think?
They didn't believe I was putting it on a book, or they didn't believe that was your body?
Both, I think. They thought that I had, you know, because I work with computers, work with graphics and stuff. I think the whole thing in their minds was just a Photoshop experiment.
Oh, that you just made it all up?
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, so I ended up having to do, you know, a little bit of proof and stuff like that at different points. And so that was pretty funny. You know, even your own family can sometimes surprise you in what they're willing to believe.
It's funny. This isn't a new story either. I've heard this from a bunch of people where they're like, they actually thought it was like fake or Photoshop. And even though they're standing right in front of the person, they're like, well, that's not you. You know, it's funny that people actually react that way.
At the same time, I mean, I've had people come up to tell me and say, man, you've been working out. I mean, you can tell a difference even through your clothes, which for me is pretty big because almost all my clothes fits pretty loose. To be able to tell through my clothes.
Mm-hmm. At some point it starts to show. You can't really hide it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are your goals right now then?
Well, right now I'm going to continue to build my shoulders. I still want to get to the 1.61. Mm-hmm. So I've got some inches to work on my upper body. So right now I'm focusing on shoulders, chest, and back, the upper part of the
back
measurement.
Mm-hmm.
So and then when that gets in line, then I can continue to just rock the body, I guess. And I think by that time, if I get my shoulders up to where I want them, to where I actually hit the golden ratio, I'm going to just be, I'm going to be stoked.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm kind of biased, but I think it's a good goal. So, all right, so then, okay, so what's your advice to other guys, skinny guys who maybe were like you, same, you know this part of the call? You take home points, your advice, you got the floor.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a whole bunch of like little theories, and I think that one of the things that's really important for skinny guys is to not be so stressed about, overtraining and stuff like that. You know, I believe that work into your training, listen to your body, but don't be afraid of overtraining. I kind of have this theory that, when you have like smaller muscles or however you want to look at it, you can damage those a whole bunch, and it's only like 1% of your overall body mass, so your body can heal that up really fast, and so if you're really small, if you have those small, like, for example, and this is just Adam theory, so feel free to counteract this or whatever, but like if you do a bicep curl, your muscles, your arm is twice or three times as big as my arm, so there's going to be a lot more muscle damage that you can do. And so maybe it's going to take longer for your body to rebuild those up. Mine, I can damage all of those over and over again in there. It's like putting one brick back into the wall. My body's like, hey, that was no problem. Here, it's fixed.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You know what? I, regardless if you are either you are even know what exactly the limits are, I think the take-home message is everyone's limits further than they think.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so
you tested yours and you found it.
Yeah, and there was times where I've got right close to that line, I backed off a little bit, and then I pushed the limits again.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's remind everyone, you were up to training twice a day for multiple days. Like, it's a lot further than people think.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely, and I enjoyed it, and so that makes a difference, too. Don't do it if you're not enjoying it. Don't do it if it's not something that, something that you really want. I don't think you really can do it, and you're just going to come up with excuses, or you're going to hurt yourself, or something like that. So, I'm really, really fortunate to have, my kids that were supporting me and my girlfriend that was supporting me. So, surround yourself with other people who are willing to support you, because I think that's important too. If you're getting the right compliments at the right time and people understand what you're trying to do, then it makes it a lot easier. And the other thing is that I talked to a couple of people. I see people differently now. I see people as sort of like post-transformation. Like, I can just envision them, you know, what they would look like after completing 6 months of you know, Adonis philosophy, basically. And so there's some of these guys that I work out with that are just huge. And if they would, you know, get on board with the philosophy, they'd just be incredible, incredible sculptures of man. And I'm like, wow, dude, just unlock yourself, unlock your potential, and stop being chubby.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
No, I know what you're talking about. You see someone, you're like, you're a lot closer than you think, and they're just sort of they're like the fly trying to go through the window when the open door is like right there, and they don't know it.
Yeah. So, and then again, I think that, you know, even if you're skinny, you still have, you know, you still have to watch your calories, and you still have to play the calorie game. I may have more leniency, maybe. I have another theory that because of my body type, and this is Adam's theory again, but some people, when they eat food, their body slows down and they just want to chill and relax, and their bodies naturally store and hold on to those calories. When I eat food, I get more energy. I find myself wiggling. I find myself moving more. So I think maybe I have a little bit of a window, because as I eat more, my activity naturally increases a little bit more. My body doesn't want to hold fat. It doesn't want to.
Yeah, there's an entire scientific theory about that. That
is it?
People evolve two ways. They either evolve to be rest and store the calories and outlast a famine that way, or you eat the calories, it gives you energy to go seek out food. So you've got your like gatherers and your hibernators. And the theory is we've evolved to be one or the other, and both are opposite end of the spectrum strategies for dealing with food scarcity. So one person just wakes up and gets motivated to go find it, and the other person's like, well, while you're doing that, I'm going to hibernate, and hopefully hopefully you make it back with the food. And yeah, there's a whole theory trying to explain why we have body types, like why we don't all just look the same, and why some people do seem to be exactly like you and others seem to be the reverse, where it's just sort of put you to sleep, be food doesn't wake you up, it tires you out. I mean, obviously, enough food tires everyone out, but in general, that's a, yeah, even though that's, you know, maybe you haven't heard that one, but yeah, there is an entire theory about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of how it seemed to me. So I don't think that I can throw out calories at all, because I think that those are still critical, but I maybe just have a little bit more wiggle room. If I eat more, I burn a little more, you know, so.
Yeah, but your challenge is muscle building, right? So it's just like everybody else. If you've got.
Exactly.
Whatever you have it to your advantage is typically to the other person's detriment, right? So it's you gotta play the cards you're dealt is the answer.
Yep. I have that challenge is just muscle building. So I just wanna keep lifting, keep building muscle. And it's just been fantastic. I gotta give, you know, props to the forum, all the people in the forums, and how fantastic they are, because there's somebody in there that you can relate to. Because the forum and the community has just gotten so large that there's almost always somebody in there who's had the same sort of thoughts, the same sort of challenges, the same sort of experiences, you know, and you can relate, and they are always so supportive. And so I think you've got a great group of guys that are behind the scenes, which is fantastic. Community really, really assists.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. What do you think?
I'm happy with that. Appreciate it.
All right, well, congratulations on placing. And for Adam Murphy, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.
Great.